Hello, and thank you to stay until the end. I'm going to present our project FLAIR, which is in collaboration with my co-worker at Purdue and at Stanford University. I assume that everybody here know about Apache Spark, and so what we are really interested in to know right now is to how fast is Spark. Spark has been around for a little while now, and there have been a huge engineering effort to make it as fast as possible. So we are going to see if there is anything left for us to improve. I prepare a small demo. So I'm going to load a file, which is the ngram from the Google book. So with the letter A, that file has only four columns, which is the word we are looking, the year of the occurrence, in how many times it occurs, and in how many books. And so I already launched Spark, which is Spark 2.2. And I'm going to write a simple query. So if I have my Gbook data frame, I can filter, for example, on the column word. So I have a word, and I want to get only the one that have the word argument, for example. Okay. So like Spark is a deferred API, here I didn't compute any code, but I'd create a graph representing the computation. So unless we call an I/O operation on this data frame, nothing is going to happen. So I'm going to just try to show the result, and I'm going to time the operation. So Spark has many steps. So the first step will be to generate code for multiple stages in the query, and then going to run the query in multiple stages. So here we have the first stage that start to run, and it's only using a single core on my machine and on a 2 GB file. So it's taking a little bit of time, right? Only on a 2 GB file. So let's see how we could do differently, right? So one way would be to write a C file, right? So I can write manually a file. So the idea will be, okay, I'm going to look at the word argument in that frame, and mainly what we can do is to map the file. Then have a phase when we extract for each line, we extract each value on that line, which are separated by tabulation. And what's important then is just to do a simple test, a string compare between the two, the value we got and our argument value. And if it passes the test, well, I'm going to print the line. Okay, and so in the meantime, so I cannot claim that I can write the C code, but the computation that needs to be done is not that that hard. So now Spark should terminate run now, hopefully. Okay, so it took around 55 seconds to run on my computer. So we are going to look at the same thing with what FLAIR could do. So FLAIR use the same data frame APIs and Spark, but we are going to ask FLAIR to transform that Spark data frame into a FLAIR data frame, and then we can apply the same operator on top of it. So I'm going to show what happened to show the same thing. So FLAIR also generates the code, so it takes 400 milliseconds to generate the code, and then 2 seconds to actually run the exact same query. So the question is like, well, it's a little bit unfair, right? I run Spark on my machine, whereas Spark has been designed to run on multiple clusters. So why do we would like to see that? So one of the main reasons is that, well, if your data is not that big, there is some machine out there that have actually a lot of memory. So we have a machine at Purdue, for example, that has 96 cores and 3 TB of RAM. So if your data is even a couple hundred of gigabytes, well, you don't really need to have many machines to run to be able to load it. And even if you don't have that machine, you can rent it on Amazon or Google Cloud. So we think that there's a lot of use case for that given situation. So let's dive into Spark and see where are the actual bottleneck and where the design decision lead to this slow performance. So when they introduced Spark 2.0, they based the Tungsten compiler for Spark on the paper Hyper. So they focused a lot on the pipeline fusion for the operator, but they added a lot of overhead because of the architecture of Spark, of the RDD and the distributed aspect. So if we take a look, for example, at a simple query that do a join on two keys, on my laptop, Spark is going to generate a plan that use a broadcast join, which may not be the best thing to do on my laptop. And for that, we see that Spark generate two different pipelines, the stage one and stage two. And in order to communicate between the two systems, Spark is going through a very expensive Ethereum interface, right? So the code that is generated by Tungsten is a Java code. So it's a big piece of string that does the join operator. And in the middle, they are going to plug the different join condition for the given operation. But more importantly, they also use the iterator interface in order to extract the data from the stage zero to be able to compute the join in the stage one. And when we actually look at the the computation of this query, 80% has been done into decoding the in-memory representation for the data. And only 20% is spent doing the actual computation. So here we have 80% overhead for a simple query. So what do we propose is that the front-end for Spark is great, and the API for the DataFrame API allows the graph construction using the full power of the Scala language. But instead of using their code generation, we propose our own that is going to generate low-level C code that is going to be run on a single machine. So Flare is based on the design that has already been introduced by a different paper. And they use what we call LMS, so lightweight multi-modular staging, in order to generate code. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time to explain how that works. So here we are going to take a toy example for the function power that has two arguments, the base and the exponent. As a system engineer, I assume that this kind of code seems pretty bad in terms of performance, right? So what if we know that every time I use that function, the exponent is always the same, right? If, for example, the exponent is 4. Well, I don't want to use a function to compute my power. And so we use LMS that can annotate some types. So for example, here, the base is not known when we compile that code, but the exponent n will be known. So if I execute that code on the corner, which just does the power of x to the power 4, instead of executing code, it's going to generate code. So when I run that code, I'm going to have a residual program that is specialized on that given function for the value 4. So how do we use this strategy for compiling a data frame? So Flare is implemented using the operator, like each SQL operator has its own implementation. And on an operator, we are going to say, OK, compute all the tuples that you need to do and apply this callback function on all of them. So it's a great abstraction. But if we had to do it if we actually have to execute this kind of code, we will have to have an overhead for all callback function. At each tuple, it will be pretty bad in terms of performance. However, with LMS, like the record is a statically known information at compile time, right? We know exactly how many how many value there is in the record and what kind of type they are, we can actually specialize the code for that. So if I run my simple query, which do a filter on the quantity and return a single flag, Flare is going to generate the following code. So we have a for loop that is generated by the scan operator. And then we have extraction of the quantity, which is compared to the double one. And if that condition pass, we are going to print the return flag. So let's take a little look at the result. So we evaluated Flare on against three other data systems. So the first one is a database system more commonly used called Postgres, so which is not an in-memory system. Spark, which is an in-memory system, and Hyper, which is the state of the art in terms of query compilation. So we run that on the dataset of size 10 gigabytes, mostly. And we can see that there's two kinds of systems. The fast system that are Flare and Hyper, and the slow system that are Spark and Postgres. Even if Spark is in memory, compared to Postgres, there is still a lot of overhead, which doesn't make it perform very well. And like we can generate specialization code, we can also specialize code for loading the data. So if we know that our CSV file has one string and three integers, we can generate code that is going to load only one string and three integers, which doesn't require to use library doing a general purpose CSV reader. So what about parallelism? Here we did some experiment on a machine that has four sockets and 24 cores per socket on using 1, 2, 4, and up to 32 threads. So we can see that Spark in the corner, right upper corner, is scaling pretty well. However, at what cost? So Frank McSherry introduced the cost metric, which means configuration that outperform a single thread. We can see that on two queries, like query 14 and query 22, even after 32 threads, Spark cannot perform as well as Flare on only one thread. So at least the cost in that situation will be more than 32. And one of the aspects we can see that Flare starts to decrease in performance after 16 threads. So the reason is of the NUMA architecture on which we are running. Each of our cores are 24 threads. So when we use 32 threads, we need to use two different sockets. Therefore, the communication between the two sockets increase and add overhead and decrease the performances. So if we actually compile our code with NUMA-aware optimization, we have a very good result. So that graph has a little bit of information, so we are going to spend a little bit of time on it. So there is three different experiments. Or we use only one socket, or we use two sockets with the dark blue, or we use four sockets, which is the light green. So when we run with one thread, we only use one socket. But the case when we use 18 threads, for example, we can run the 18 thread on a single socket. And for query 1, we have a speed up of 12. And for query 6, we have a speed up of 14. However, if we run this 18 thread on two different sockets, 9 thread on one socket and 9 thread on the other socket, we can see that for query 6, we have a much better speed up. We go from 14 to 22. So the reason is that query 6 is actually memory bound. So when we use two sockets, we multiply the memory bandwidth by 2. However, query 1, which was actually computation bound, do not get much better performance because of that. But we see that by generating code which is NUMA aware, we can actually improve performance. In the case of Spark, the code generation is completely agnostic in terms of architecture or topology of the network, which means that they cannot have this kind of low-level details. So with Flare, the advantage that we use native code, we can interface very easily with TensorFlow, for example. TensorFlow has a compiler called XLA that can generate a binary code for a given graph. And therefore, Flare can take the binary generated by TensorFlow, mix it with the binary generated by our system, and have one binary executing both systems in a very efficient way. So if we look at the result for a simple query that's doing a classification on a data frame, so we use Spark to go to load data from a file, and on each line of that file, we are going to apply a TensorFlow classifier on top of it. And in that case, we can see that Spark in the dark green bar have actually a very bad performance. It's because of all the memory transferred between the Python runtime and the TensorFlow runtime. So having a heterogeneous system is not very efficient. However, like Flare can load the data that is tailored for the TensorFlow binary. We actually have no data or overhead between the two systems. So in conclusion, we look into Spark and we look at the key problem that they have to achieve best performance on a single machine for medium-sized dataset. And we propose Flare that is able to generate code specialized for the NUMA architecture using multi-threaded. And we managed to close the gap between Spark and the best query engine without changing the user interface. Thank you.
Any questions? So I'm wondering, like, if I want to use Flare and I have a problem that fits in memory, so I can use Flare if I wanted to. But I also have an option of going to Spark and going to many machines, right? And you had a graph there showing like the cost of scaling out, right? Mm-hmm. But how can I decide ahead of time whether I should use Flare or whether I should go to a distributed environment? Like what? And it fits in memory already. So given that it fits in memory.
I think that if you are sure that it's going to fit in memory, also with the intermediate data fit in memory, using Flare will definitely have a better performance than Spark on
multi. But you have to be careful, right? Because there's a fixed number of cores that you have in your machine, right?
Yes.
Whereas scaling out, you can go to a very large number, right?
So you mean like some workload may have a cost less than infinity or like 32, and you are willing to do. So I don't have a good metrics to know when to use Flare or not, but I would assume that it will be less expensive to run it on Flare anyway, because if you have access to a machine, you will use only one instead of many.
Thank you.